Audio services provided by Planet Chiropractic. www.planetchiropractic.com.
Take the bone off the nerve and get out of the way so God can do the healing. The adjustment is so simple, but for some reason, the challenge in chiropractic isn't to give the adjustment. Those of you that are in practice know. It's not to turn the power on. I know, you know, in school you get into all these talks about, well, this technique's better, that technique's better. You're all going to figure out how to take the bone off the nerve. And in my experience of dealing with over 40 associates in the last 15 plus years, the ones that are the better adjusters aren't necessarily the ones that are the most successful. The ones that are most successful are the ones that can share chiropractic with people in such a way that it motivates them to turn into lifetime patients. Those of us that have practiced in high-volume practices know that the best thing about being in a high-volume practice is low-maintenance patients. I mean, they might take a lot of work on the front end educating them, but after a while, it's just part of their routine to get their life turned on. People say, how can you be in a profession where you have to see so many sick people? And there's very few sick people in my practice anymore. There are people that share the vision that I have. You see, your practice is a reflection of you and your vision. And my practice is about seeing a lot of families. I believe that if somebody really understands what I'm doing as a chiropractor, they would not leave their kids home to stay subluxated. It wouldn't make any sense, unless they didn't love their kids. And being a mother myself, I know when I drop my kids off at preschool, those mothers are talking about antibiotics, or they're talking about the best pediatrician, or you know, the tubes in their kids' ears. They don't do that stuff to their kids because they don't like them. They do that to their kids because they think that that's the best thing for them. They really think that that's in the best interest of their kid, to medicate their kid and to treat their bodies from the outside in. And that's what gets me excited about being a chiropractor, is that I have a new message to bring to the world. If I wanted to fit in, I could have been a dentist. I could have been a proctologist. I could have been a lawyer. I could have been anything. But the reason I chose chiropractic is because I'm up for a challenge. And unfortunately, a lot of chiropractors are trying to make chiropractic look like the same as everything else. I take the differences, what the principle, and what makes me different is the principle of chiropractic. I was in a health club earlier today, and there was a business card from a DO who specializes in manual therapy. They're grabbing on to the manipulation of it. The physical therapists, they're all going to come around to wanting what we want, what we have. We have the chiropractors want what they have, and they're going to want what we have. But you know what? What we have isn't the adjustment. That isn't the beauty of what we have. The beauty of chiropractic, what makes us stand aside from everyone else. And the product that we have to sell as salesmen, we are selling a product. And our product is the philosophy of chiropractic, the principle of lifetime chiropractic care, the principle of above, down, inside, out. That's what we have. That's what makes us the bright light that we are and that attracts people. You see, what attracts people to me is that I am so convinced that what I'm doing is right and that I have a purpose in life that shines from me. Not too many people are convinced that what they're doing is separate and unique and really makes that much of a damn difference. I know it. I know every time I do an orientation and I got a family out there and they get it. And I know that they're going to be patients, be it a week, a month, a year, and I gave them my all, I can feel good about what I did, and I know that what I did is making a difference in the world. I'm not thinking that it might. I know it is. I did talking to Sean about it earlier, I did a health fair in my town a couple of weekends ago, and it was put on by the YMCA, and it was a family fitness fair, which is, if you have something like that in your town, you need to get into that. Anywhere where there's families, you want a family practice, go where families are. So I set up a booth, and I've often talked about this, I'll mention it now, for years and years I did screenings, and I'd bring this plumb line and the sand machine, and they'd stand, and I'd go, oh, you've got crooked lines, and they go, what does that mean? And I'd go, well, to me, it means you've got crooked lines. But anyway, after doing that for enough years, I decided, because a friend of mine had done it, wasn't my unique idea, to bring an adjusting table with me. And this was a couple years back when nobody did that. That was unheard of, to bring an adjusting table. I bring an adjusting table to a screening. I have a release form where they put their name and their address, and they sign that it's okay for me to adjust them. And then I lay them down on the table, and I show them what a chiropractic adjustment feels like. Now, obviously, I ain't wailing on them, okay? But I'm giving them a little bit of chiropractic standing in the middle of East Stroudsburg University Auditorium. Now, I've been doing this. I don't know if they do it out in California. It's becoming very popular in the East Coast right now. Where I did one, we do a fair every year, a week-long fair, like a country fair. I'm in Pennsylvania. And in that week-long fair, we adjusted over 1,000 people. And signed. And out of the 1,000 people, we figured out that about 400 of them were out of town. That's one of the good things about doing this. You have them fill out a paper, and you know if they're from out of town, just be polite, but you're not going to spend your whole day talking to them. Out of the 400, take away the 400, out of the 600 left, we signed up 300 appointments in a week. Now, I've been talking about doing this now for a couple of years, and I've gotten people that have done them at motorcycle rallies, have done them at a lot of running races and walking things. You can do them in mall shows, anywhere you can get yourself out there. We're getting out there and adjusting. But anyway, the reason I brought this up, the point is that when I went out there, and I have this strong vision, my vision in my mind's eye, and this is an odd vision, you know, you have these visions, you know, but my vision since I started in chiropractic was that everybody on the planet would get adjusted on Friday nights on the way home from work. I just have this vision that it just makes sense. Everybody will stop on Friday night. I don't know how capacity-wise, you know, we would handle that. But in my vision, everyone gets adjusted Friday night because that's just a great way to knock out the stress to have a great weekend. Or like I tell the patients, the ones that come in on Monday morning, and I adjust them, I say, great way to start a week, right? I mean, when isn't a good time to get checked for subluxation? But anyway, I go out to this thing, and I screen about 45 people. This family health fair, and out of 45 people that I adjusted and laid on the table, not counting kids, because we don't even count them, we just add their name to the list, 33 of them made appointments. Now, here's what was the amazing thing, and I've done this a lot of times, and I mean, I could run nicer numbers by you, but I want to tell you what impressed me by this event is that out of these 45 people that I adjusted, 3/4 of them had been to a chiropractor before. And the kids had already been adjusted before. 3/4 of them. And when I asked who they had gone to, half of them had gone to one of my offices, and the other half of them had gone to an associate or two that had gone down the street. But whatever the case was, they got to hear the message. Even if they heard it from me and then they decided to go down the street, I don't care. The more people that are going to chiropractors, the more people that are going to chiropractors. It always cracks me up when a patient will come in and say, oh, I went to your competition. There's no competition when we're in a profession. I know when I got out of school, they said 2 or 3% of the entire population utilized chiropractic. That was it. Now it might be up to 10 or 20%. But meanwhile, if I do an orientation, I turn somebody on to chiropractic, and they're a chiropractic person, then they don't like me for some reason, they're going to go to another chiropractor. But you're increasing the pool of people that think that it's cool to go to a chiropractor. Now, one of my other big themes this year that I keep on running back to over and over again wherever I speak, and if you have questions about doing that screening thing, please ask me later on. Because it's a tremendous way to expose chiropractic. But anyway, is new patient orientations. I know a lot of you are students, and maybe this is the time to impress you upon you the importance of having, some people call it a doctor's report. So I've heard all kinds of fancy names for it. The bottom line is that I think it's my obligation as a chiropractor, a half hour a week. It only takes me a half hour to do a new patient lecture. I always call it an orientation. A half hour a week, I stand there and I do an affirmation called a new patient orientation. I get up there and I get to, excuse my language, shoot my wad. I get a chance to get up there and tell them what I'm made of. You know, a lot of times patients come in, they'll start telling about their symptoms or whatever, and I'll go, and I'll give them little tidbits of chiropractic. I don't want to scare them away. I don't want to beat them down with the principal, you know. But once a week, I feel like it's my turn. Okay, I listened to them all week. Now, once a week, I'm going to stand up there in front of those new patients or any other patient that wants to listen, and I'm going to sing my song like I was a bird and I got one song. My one song is chiropractic, and I'm not going to pass up that opportunity to tell them why I exist, which is the chiropractic principle. I tell them about innate. I tell them about symptoms. I tell them about the importance of lifetime care. I show them the logic behind making sure their nervous system is free of interference. I do it every week. And I have some clients and they'll say to me, oh yeah, but nobody comes to my orientations. And you know what I tell them to do? Do it anyway. You're a student, you say, what does it matter what I say now? I'm just a student. I remember years ago when I was a student, I went to DE one time and John Hoffman was there. And he's a chiropractor from Michigan with a huge practice. And he was speaking, and he said, hey, and it happened to be a student meeting. He says, I want you students to listen. When do you intend to become chiropractors? And people start going, you know, June, and, you know, whatever. Everyone was thinking when they're graduating. He goes, nah. He goes, you're a chiropractor right now. In this moment that you decide you're a chiropractor, you are a chiropractor. When you tell somebody the chiropractic story and convert them to a chiropractic way of life, it don't matter. I'm in practice 18 years. It don't matter if you're practiced 18 years or 10 minutes or you're in your prereqs. That's why I tell my CAs. I think my CAs get more patients converted in the waiting room than I do in the adjusting room, because they're always talking about chiropractic because they're excited about chiropractic. No school has to give you any degree, or no state board has to come across with any sheepskin in order for you to get that you could be teaching chiropractic now. And you're in the batter's box. You're in the batter's box now. And the more you perfect your skill of communicating chiropractic now, the more easier it's going to be for you for a lifetime. You're not going to get that sheepskin and all of a sudden become a different person. The practice that you have now in developing the skills necessary to have the relationships with people that will have the commitment, show them your commitment and show them your heart, and the knowing when to say the right things and knowing when to shut up, that happens now. That happens now as you knock on the door and some of them open and some of them get slammed. Start sharing chiropractic like your life depends on it, and theirs does, because their life does depend on it. If you can get that passion and that fire in your belly, then you're going to be successful. Nothing is going to get in your way if you have a made-up mind and you have a vision. Like my vision of everyone getting adjusted Friday night. Now, how ridiculous is that? But it works for me. It works for me to see. I set up this board in my office. I went to a teacher supply store. This is after 100 years of making my own bulletin boards. And if you go to a teacher supply store, they have these big bulletin boards like the teachers would use, these cutouts. And there's a clown, and he's juggling these circles, and in each circle, I put a picture of a kid in the practice, and the whole wall is getting full of these circles, because my vision is of taking care of a lot of kids. My vision is having my practice be a family practice, having people understand about the principle. And I know I say the same thing over and over, but I say the same thing over in my office, over and over and over. My affirmation of what I want my practice to be like. I tell my patients what I want my practice to be like. I set ideas in motion in their head and on the vision that I have, and I bring them on in this mission and teaching chiropractic to the world, one person at a time. I share it with them from my heart so that they want to share it to the next person from their heart. Not because I'm trying to sell them anything. I remember one time I was early in practice, and I had, at the time, the real estate boom was going crazy in the Poconos, and I had all these land deals, and you get a toaster, you know. Anyway, I had a lot of realtors as patients, and I remember one of them, he came to my orientation. I do my orientation, and after orientation, I take each person back privately, and I go over their x-rays with them, because I think that's the best time to show them anything, because they're already going like this after my orientation. They got a half hour to fall in love with me. They're either going to like me or leave me. But I'm giving it to them. Half hour. I bring them back. I go over their x-rays with them. I go over with the guy, and I tell him my cash plan. He goes, you got me. How much? I'm prepaying. He goes, and by the way, if you ever want to get out of chiropractic, I got a real estate opening for you. And you know what? I was insulted. Because I don't want anybody to think that I'm selling them. Even though I sort of am. But I don't want them to know. I want to share with them from my heart. I don't want to feel like I'm coercing them into anything. I just want to share it with them in such a way that they want to be part of this vision that I have called chiropractic. I want to set in motion a picture of what chiropractic is in their mind. I remember I had an associate one time. And he was this, I love him, and some of my friends in the back will know who I'm talking about, an Italian guy from Long Island. And he was about 24, 25 years old at the time. And he was very single. He was great. You go somewhere with him. And you get commentary on all the women's body parts in the whole place. Anyway, I said to him, I said, John, and he's heard me tell this story, so it's okay. I said, when you meet a girl at a bar, I know what you're thinking. You know what you're thinking? I said, but do you tell her what you're thinking? Do you just ask her to marry you right out like that? He said, no. I said, would you start the small talk? He said, yeah. He said, then you move into what, you know, whatever, the first date? He said, yeah. I said, well, here's the deal. I said, when you meet somebody and you tell them about chiropractic, you throw up on them. I know your intention is to turn them into a lifetime patient, but you don't need to tell them that in the first 5 minutes of meeting them. You need to bring them along with you. Bringing people around from looking at everything from there's a pill for every ill to life comes from above down inside out. They need to feel like you're grabbing their hand and walking with them on this path. And they got to feel like you're anchored. Like they say, you can't anchor to an unanchored mind. First time their kid's got a fever, are they going to run the kid to the emergency room? Are they going to have enough confidence to call you? That determines the men from the boys. How strong do what you say have an influence over them? How much confidence do they have in what you're telling them? And if they don't feel like you're sure, well, I surely wouldn't want to go to somebody who I didn't feel was sure. They need to feel your strength in bringing, you're going to bring a new principle to the world, you better believe it. It either is or it ain't. You remove a subluxation, somebody's better off or they ain't. I'm not saying that their symptoms are going to go away or they should go away. But I'm telling you that every time I remove a subluxation, I know that that body is connected to its source. Every time. There's never a person with a subluxation that would be better off with it than without it. I also know that I'm not throwing the MD off the pedestal so I can climb up there. I'm looking to run hand in hand with people. I have to feel like I know what I know. And I need to tell them what I know. And I need to continually grow in myself so that I'm alive. See, the true test of being a chiropractor over the long haul, I mean, I could teach you guys how to build a practice in a year or 2 years. You get 15, 20 years down the road or more. The staying power comes from staying excited. Keeping excited and staying excited and not taking anything for granted. I know the most lethal sentence in the English language is been there, done that. For those of us that are in practice a long time, you're going in. I know I went through a period of time I couldn't see a new patient without yawning. I just had this thing. I knew I'd have to go in the room and start going like this because I knew I'd start yawning. I knew I was in trouble. Because I wasn't excited about seeing new patients. I was excited about seeing my regular patients, but I wasn't excited about seeing new patients, so I didn't get them. I'll tell you another mistake I made for years in practice, is I didn't pay attention to patients that did what I wanted them to. I paid attention to people that didn't. In other words, I put you on a care plan, and you start goofing off and thinking you can come in only when it hurts, I'd take you back in the room and go over your x-rays with you and explain everything to you and stand on my head and juggle, and I would do anything to have you understand what I was trying to get across with the chiropractic principle. Yet if you came every week, I'd go, lay down. I just you say, see you next week. It's like a kid in school. If the kid does what the teacher wants and the teacher doesn't pay any attention to him, they're going to stop doing what the teacher wants. I remember when I was in kindergarten in Brooklyn, New York, there was this kid named Mitchell, man, and this kid couldn't stay in his seat. I know they would have had him drugged up nowadays, but back then they didn't drug him up. But this kid, I wanted to drug him up because the teacher spent the whole day paying attention to this darn kid that didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. If you spend all your time in your practice worrying about the ones that aren't doing what you want, you're going to get more of them. If you want a practice full of lifetime wellness patients, then set up systems in your practice that keep that whole consciousness going. But I was talking a minute ago about the long haul. Let me talk to you about self-preservation here. You are responsible for your condition. I'm not talking about just on Saturday nights. Before you drive home, I was in practice for 2 or 3 years before I ever took a day off, because I was so into it. My practice was growing so fast, and I hired a consultant because I wanted to even grow faster. And the first thing she said to me was, "You got to take a vacation." I said, "I'm all right. I don't need a vacation." She said, "I bet you your practice will grow." I said, "If I take a vacation, my practice will grow?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "You need to be responsible for your condition, and you're burnt out." So I took off a week. I came back in the office, and on the Monday that I got back from vacation, I saw 19 new patients because I was ready. I mean, I'm all for that advertising. I'm all for getting out and doing screenings, but I'll tell you what, you're right on the outside, they're going to be attracted to you. You can grow a practice from attraction or promotion. Promotion is what you learn in school. How to put in the yellow page ad in, how to hand out cards, how to do that stuff. But my principle is, if you're on fire, they're going to come watch you burn. If you're on fire with this stuff called chiropractic, they're going to want to be around you. You're aliveness factor, because that's really our product. Bottom line, our product is aliveness. Why would somebody want to get adjusted once a week for a lifetime? Hopefully not because they're afraid their migraine will come back, but because they want what you got. And you've got to be expressing that or they ain't even going to know what they want. That's where taking care of yourself, eating right, exercising, taking geritol, whatever it is that you need to do to be whole. You want to make it in the long haul? You got to be responsible to yourself. Because, you know, bottom line, you can't really change somebody else. Those of you think you can change somebody else, I hope you ain't married. I've been trying a long time to change my husband. The more I try to change him, I almost don't want him to know what I want because he's going to do the opposite, you know? You can't change somebody else. How could you think that you're going to get up there for a half hour at a new patient orientation and have them go, "Oh, my God, my mother, she was so stupid when she gave me those orange aspirins. Where should I dispose of all my medication?" You can't change them. I mean, I'll tell you all day of things to do to change them, but you really can't change them, just like I can't change you. I wish there was somebody who could change me. I get in these things where I stop working out for a few months at a time. I wish somebody would say, I need one of them like wands, you know, boing, you know, you're going to start working out. Nobody can change somebody else. They got to change yourself. That's where that attraction thing comes in. You become so attractive, they're going to want what you got. And if they want what you got, they got to be willing to do what you've done to get it. And one of the things that keeps me alive more than anything, more than eating right, exercise, and drinking water, more than any of those things, is that I get adjusted regularly. Shame on you if you're telling people to get adjusted regularly and you're not. You're hypocritical. You need to make sure you stay clear for your own self. And you got to watch your attitude. You know those days that you don't want to be around yourself? Nobody else wants to be around you either. Remember that. You got to do a reality check sometimes on that. I know when I first got married, and my husband thought I had a tic, because every time I had a negative thought, I'd go like this and shake it out. He'd go, "Something wrong with you, hon?" Thought I had Parkinson's or something. Because, you know, these negative thoughts, they come around. Especially, you know, you think, oh, well, when I get out of school or when I, you know, have the right amount of kids or the right size house or the right amount of cars, I want to tell you, the higher you get up, you look down, it's further. Higher up you are, you know, the way I see it is it's like this thing goes on between faith and fear, faith and fear, faith and fear. Faith is getting adjusted. Faith is practicing chiropractic. Faith is taking care of yourself. Fear is looking down in that hole and going, oh. I remember when I first opened my office and I did real well, and I kept opening in offices, and I kept buying. I thought I was a real estate person too, because I kept buying these freestanding buildings and putting offices in them. And one day I was talking to somebody. I had four offices. I had two houses. I had a trailer, a couple cars, Range Rover. I'm in practice 4 years now. And somebody goes to me, can you imagine somebody would say this to me? They said, wow, with all that debt, doesn't that scare the shit out of you? And I went, hell yeah! I was screwed. I want to tell you what, I was screwed right there because I lost my gut. I start looking down, I don't care where you start looking down, you're going down. I put an associate into practice, and almost always they start by going like this. Almost always, because usually the practice is down from the guy that was thinking of leaving for 6 months, right? So it's an easy one. And they get in there, Ed's laughing. They go in there, I say, do this. And this is when, and they still don't think they know more than me, usually, or they're not telling me anyway. So they go and do all these things, and the practice starts going like this, and then their girlfriend breaks up with them, or there's any excuse you could think of. Something bad happens, you know. Their cat dies. It don't matter. Their eye gets off that ball, just like me when I had all those practices, and somebody said, are you scared? And I went, ah! And then they start going like this. Anybody with me? Practice goes like this, then it goes like this. The men from the boys' spot again. What do you do when it's like this? Where does that gut come from? That determines the man from the boys. For me, when it goes like this, it's all about God for me. I mean, if I depend on other people, if I depend on anything outside of myself, I'm in trouble. I need to reconnect. When I reconnect, then I get the to take me through that. That is character. And a lot of that is built by what you did to get to that point. You know, some people go through life and nothing, it seems like nothing ever goes wrong for them. And then when they get there, they go, oh my God, and they crash. Sometimes people will start out and they'll have a couple of bumps and grinds in the road, and people go, oh, how unfortunate, they're having a tough time of it. Sometimes that builds their character. Your stats and your life doesn't go like this, it goes more like this, hopefully. When it goes down, where are you going? You going up or you going down? I almost don't care which it is. The one that's dead for me is this one. I'd rather go up or down than go. It's like the graph with BJ, you know. They got to get a change in the graph. I need to get a change. It's like when I adjust the patient, I hate when they feel the same. I mean, just feel like crap or feel great. One of the two, you know? Flatline. What do you do, man? What are you made of when it goes there? My relationship with God and my relationship with other people that are more successful or as successful as I am. If I hang out with people that aren't super successful and I'm having a bad day, I know who I can call. Man, I'm having a really bad day. And they go, wait, mine's worse. And then I feel real good as my practice goes into the crapper. But then there's the other people I know I could hang out with that always tell me to get off my butt and get to work. Those are the people, when I choose to watch my graph go like that, those are the people that I choose to have in my space. I can't, the one product, again, the product's chiropractic, but I'm the salesman. If there ain't nothing left of me, then there ain't nothing left of my practice. I need to be selective on that light that I talk about. It's like that Elton John song, Candle in the Wind. I need to make sure that I only hang around people that are doing what I want to be doing. My point is that I've got to make sure that I'm selective on the things that I let in my head and the people that I plan to be around if I want to keep on growing and I want to keep on doing the right thing. I've got to hang around with people that are doing the right thing. I know when I was in chiropractic school, there was a group of us that would always hang out together. We'd actually call each other's houses and make believe we were patients to goof on them, to test them, so that they'd be better at the answers they'd say to stupid people that were canceling appointments or whatever. We would go back and forth with each other. We'd test each other, and we'd be there for each other. I've got to encourage you in practice to create that group of people that can be your support, that can be your rock, that you can go to when you're and share your successes and not think that they're thinking, oh, geez, now I got to keep up with him. I want them to rise to the occasion. I want you to rise to the occasion. I want you guys to be together in this thing as a team. You know, you go into the practice, and it'd be real nice if I did the chiropractic message, and everyone did, yeah, sign me up. But then the first patient comes in the morning, and they go, oh, doc, it flew in. Now, you adjusted me last week, and I don't know why it still hurts me, right? And after a while, you hear enough of that stuff, it'll wear you down. I ain't coming back. My workers' comp ain't paying anymore. All that stuff. Or you ever talk to an insurance company on the phone? Ooh, that can make you negative. And we start letting that in. My uncle used to say, if you hang out with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. You start hanging out, and you guys that are in school think that you know, you're the only one that got to deal with stuff. We got to deal with stuff. And we got to be able to close the door on it. We got to have something left. We got to be able to come through these battles stronger and have something left. And that comes from being selective on the people that we hang around with. I think that every chiropractor in the world should go to lunch once a week with other chiropractors and ones that are doing better or as well than they are. I know when I was a kid, my uncle was a chiropractor, and when he first started out, he wasn't doing it as well as he wanted to. And my aunt was a stay-at-home mom, and she actually started becoming friendly with other chiropractors' wives that were successful. She like had this mapped out. She'd go to a chiropractic seminar, and she'd start hanging out with the speakers' wives. And she'd start having dinner parties and having these people over people that probably would have never even been friends with my uncle. But she wanted to get my uncle to start hanging out with the speakers and the successful people so he would start seeing himself that way. And he'd start listening to what they were talking about and start thinking like they were thinking. This stuff doesn't happen accidentally. You want to be a successful chiropractor? Make it your business to do what successful chiropractors do. It's not accidental. It's a passion that develops in us as we nurture it and make it grow. And being here with us today is a big step in that direction. That's the spirit that the Focus Philosophy Weekends started at. Back in the late 80s, I started inviting a bunch of friends together, and we would do something similar to this twice, three, four times a year, and we'd all bring our family. That's the difference I've noticed so far. I see a couple kids in the room, but in the Poconos, when we do the Focus Weekends, there's as many kids as there are adults. There's usually 40 or 50 kids minimum. At the weekends, and we do a pool party Saturday night. Everybody brings their kids, and our kids and our families are actually growing up together in chiropractic. My kids have as many friends or little pictures, and they have little writing buddies that are other chiropractic kids. Because if we're going to grow up in chiropractic, my kids go to school, and the nurse kind of asked them about some immunization, or you know. Just the way they think is so much different than the way the other kids think. They need to hang around other chiropractors. I just thought about this other associate I had, and he was Jewish, and he was dating a woman who was Catholic. And he was really in love with this woman, and it really wasn't a problem between him and the woman. And she had never been to a chiropractor, but she really grasped on to chiropractic, and she really loved chiropractic, and they were growing together in chiropractic. And so they had gotten engaged, and he went and told his mother, and his mother was Jewish, and she just about had a heart attack and fell over because this girl was Catholic. But actually, to the associate, it shocked him that his mother would be upset about that, because what mattered to him was that she believed in chiropractic and she believed in the above down inside out principle, and she had. That was more important to him than what religion she was born into. You follow? That she was willing to have kids and they were going to have home births and they weren't going to vaccinate, that was more important to than their religion. That's how much different chiropractic is and the chiropractic lifestyle is to the way other people live their lives. Do you keep it that different or do you try to meld it in and mix it in and have it look like everything else? I am different as a chiropractor, and I'll tell you, I'm crazy as a chiropractor, and being a chiropractor is a little different and a little crazy, so I might as well have a blast, because they already think I'm crazy. I might as well have fun doing it. Please don't try to fit chiropractic into a medical specialty. It's 180 degrees different than medicine. It's a different principle of life. It is a principle of life. They say health insurance, they only pay for you when you're sick. Chiropractic is health insurance. Chiropractic is making sure your body is alive. So, I'm introducing you to the Focus Weekends. That's how it started. And when we first started, I used to have, and I still, in the Poconos, we have about 25 speakers, and each of them speak about a half hour. I just don't know as many chiropractors in California yet. But most of the people that speak just have huge practices and don't speak anywhere else or consult or do anything else. They're just working class dogs that get up there and share their enthusiasm of chiropractic because that's what I need to hear again and again and again. That's what keeps me young in chiropractic. I graduated chiropractic school in 1984, and I am more excited about going to the office this Monday morning than I was the first day I got out of school.